Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's time for the Dakota Political Junkies. Today, we've got Roger Whittle with the Watertown Public Opinion on the phone. Hey, Roger.
Lori, how are you?
I am doing well. Also with us, Dana Ferguson with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Dana, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, let's start with you, Dana, and let's talk transgender bathroom bill, Student Privacy Act, sometimes referred to as, there's news on that on argusleader.com. Give us an update.
Sure. So I was out at the Family Heritage Alliance annual banquet last night here in Sioux Falls. There's going to be another one out in Rapid City in a couple weeks, but they were talking about some of their visions or goals for the next year or so. And among them, the transgender bathroom bill wasn't one. I spoke with some of their political experts or the individuals who do the lobbying out in Pierre, and they said they're not going to waste their time trying to bring the same proposal that Governor Dugard vetoed back in 2016 and tried to bring again last year, or rather earlier this year. Instead, they're going to look to build support systems in churches across the state with the hope that they'll be able to bolster one another if situations come up where they feel that their religious freedom is not being allowed or that they're not being able to speak or act freely in expressing themselves.
Roger, religious freedom, acting freely. What say you?
Well, getting back to the bathroom bill thing, the governor said he would veto that again in this session. So they're smart not to waste their time and effort to bring that bill through the legislature again. They're rolling the dice and hoping that the next governor, be it Marty Jackley or Kristi Noem, or the Democratic guy would be more open to supporting that bill for them. So, not a surprising move. But I forget what they're calling these teams, cultural impact teams that the Alliance is planning to react to instances where people think that their religious freedoms are being ignored. For instance, if a baker is asked to bake a cake for a gay couple and he doesn't want to, and there's some problem there, the Alliance would send a group of trained people to help him get through that process, which is an interesting idea.
Dana, who exactly is the Family Heritage Alliance? Is this a national group or a local group?
They are a state organization with the support, obviously, of many national organizations with similar mission statements. They drew the idea for the culture impact teams from the Family Research Council, which is a national Christian group. So it's not unique to South Dakota, but it is a new strategy that they are employing this year. They are based out of Rapid City and for years have been a pretty strong lobbying presence out at the Capitol. They have taken on some new leadership this year with Dale Barcher stepping down and a few other individuals stepping up to fill that void. At their event last night, it was pretty clear that Dale had a strong influence on the group, and now they might take a little bit of a different tone, look at different issues now that they have leadership that is a little bit different in what it wants to take on.
Dana, have we seen the culture impact teams at work yet? Do we know what that looks like in practice?
You know, they cited one instance out in Rapid City where they believe that they have had an effective instance of bringing those teams together. Apparently out in Rapid City, there was a discussion at the city council about whether a new business should be allowed to settle there. Apparently it was sort of an adult store that was looking to get started right next to a kid's karate studio. So these groups converged on the city council and made their case that zoning ordinances don't allow for this sort of positioning of an adult store next to a location where children are frequently present. And apparently they were successful in making sure that business did not get to set up in Rapid City, or at least not in that location.
Do we have a sense that these are response teams, that somebody would call them and then they would appear, or are they going to be proactive and sort of seek out areas to influence?
It sounds like it's going to work both ways. The way that they were looking for it to start, I think, would be more reactive, that they would be called upon to act in an instance where, as we mentioned, there's a situation where someone felt that their religious freedom was being impacted or not allowed to exist to the extent that they would like it to. But beyond that first situation in Rapid City, we haven't had much of an ability to see exactly what this is going to mean or what it's going to look like across the state.
Dana, anything else from that meeting that stands out to you?
I think it essentially let us know once again that the Family Heritage Alliance is a pretty strong lobbying influence in the state. There were about a dozen state lawmakers there, congressional candidates. Dusty Johnson and Chantel Krebs were there, as were gubernatorial candidate Marty Jackley, as well as Christy Noem's husband, Brian. So this group does have a lot of influence over elected officials and candidates who likely will be elected in the future. So what they say really does have an impact on policy in this state, and that's something that should be taken seriously for any group that has influence, and something that I'll be watching moving forward.
Roger, you mentioned Christy Noem, Marty Jackley, and the race for the 2018, governor's race. How does faith play into that? What are we hearing the candidates say?
Both candidates have made it clear that their faith will play a major role in how they conduct public business. I don't think that surprised anybody. So I think in that regard, they're going to be a little different than what we've seen from Governor Dugard.
Do we see, examples of that in their past, in Attorney General Jackley's work or in Congresswoman Noem's policies? What does that look like? It's easy to say, I'm going to put my faith forth. What does it look like?
It is. I know one big instance with the Attorney General was with the marijuana issue, that he went after the people at the Flandreau who wanted to build a marijuana facility, and he went after them, even though a lot of people thought that his chances of winning that were slim. So I think that's an instance where he saw what his core values are coming into play in how he did his job.
Dana, your thoughts on faith and the run for governor? Is it a talking point that everybody really just has to check off their list in South Dakota and, define the parameters of their faith and how it influences them? Or is this race, different? Does it lead further in the front?
I think it's always been an issue that candidates really need to put out there, just as part of the dynamic of this state. It's very conservative on the whole, very Christian on the whole. So for a candidate either not to address that or to be different from that, I think would be out of the norm for South Dakota. But in this race especially, it seems to be taking a pretty prominent position as an issue that the candidates really need to almost one-up one another ahead of the Republican primary. Just last week, I was at a prayer luncheon at which Christy Noem and Marty Jackley were able to speak out on what their faith is all about, what their beliefs are, and how it's influenced their decisions in office. And essentially, they were taking the opportunity to list all the times their faith had influenced their decision making, and both promised that isn't going to change if they're elected governor. They plan to make sure that their Christian values are right there with them, and they'll be a little bit more out there in terms of supporting policies like the transgender bathroom policy, religious freedom policy, and others that Governor Duvard hasn't really signed off on.
Did they have specific examples that, you know, where they were outlining a decision they had made and what stuck with you?
Yeah. For the Attorney General, he was pretty quick to point out instances where he has signed on to cases in other states. For instance, a case out of Colorado that's now in the U.S. Supreme Court, in which a baker refused to bake a cake for a same-sex couple for their wedding. He's also made a point of signing on to transgender bathroom challenges elsewhere and has said that if he were governor, he would sign that bill. Representative Noem sort of laid out her positions on restricting access to abortion. Both of them have been pretty vocal about that, as well as her efforts to allow for religious freedom and make sure that people have the ability to fully express their Christian views. There have been complaints against both of them from more liberal individuals saying that these religious views shouldn't have such a position when you're an elected official. You need to have that separation of church and state, but I don't think that either of them are going to change the way they make their decisions or the way that they make prominent their beliefs.
Roger, I'm curious, what's a good strategy for Democrat Billy Sutton in this regard? Yeah, right? I mean, does he have to, is it an opportunity for him to take a different stance with his faith and say, but this is what I'm going to do with my faith? Or is the pressure on for him to, you know, come out as a strong faith-based person?
Dana made a very good point when she was talking about candidates seeming to have to one-up each other. And it's been that way. We've seen with the Republicans for a long time be more conservative than the guy replacing. We saw a lot of good conservative lawmakers lose in the last election around Watertown anyway to even more conservative. And I think that's not just the Republican. That's the same case with the Democratic Party, that they're trying to oftentimes one-up each other and who can be more progressive, more liberal. Like Hillary Clinton wasn't liberal enough for some people, so they were flocking to Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. Whether or not since Billy doesn't have anybody running against right now, a big name, that I don't think he has to do that. You know, he doesn't have to put out his liberal credentials to get Democratic votes. So I think that will serve him well, that he can kind of be more of a middle-of-the-road kind of guy.
Hmm. Dana, let's wrap up maybe with the conservative speaker, Trevor, is it Loudon or Loudon?
Yes, it is.
Is Loudon?
Loudon.
I should have stopped instead of saying or. Yeah. I have a tendency to do that sometimes. And the pushback in Sioux Falls from business leaders.
Yeah. So last week we had the conservative speaker, Trevor Loudon, in town. He came here on Monday and with support from the Minnehaha County GOP as well as the Moody County GOP, he put on a speaking event. Prior to that, he'd spoken with lawmakers, just a handful who'd come out for this speaking engagement. He was pretty vocal in saying that lawmakers should try to ensure that policy is passed next year that makes sure that illegal immigrants are not allowed into the state and that there's more influence by lawmakers on whether refugees are allowed to resettle here. And so that stirred up a little bit of controversy in town. The Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce soon thereafter issued a statement saying that they are really looking to be open to all groups, including immigrants and refugees that want to start businesses in Sioux Falls, and that any sort of policy that might be antagonistic to those groups shouldn't be considered by lawmakers. And then that's something that Loudon sort of predicted would happen. He said, you're going to face challenges from the business community. Despite that, you really need to, as lawmakers, pass this policy. So that set off a little bit of a back and forth. And now it's really in the hands of lawmakers as to whether they're going to bring some of these controversial resolutions and bills, which some have said they fully intend to do, and whether they will lose some of that support from chambers of commerce, businesses, and others by really trying to bring some of these ideas forward when Sioux Falls and other communities are really trying to grow and attract employees and businesses that might be of different backgrounds.
Roger, he said, your farmers want illegal workers.
Yes. He said the only people who are pro-immigration are farmers who want cheap illegal workers and Democrats who want more voters, which I thought was an interesting quote. And not sure if that's the case. You know, like Dana said, we do have severe workforce shortages in the state. And, you know, the one way to increase that is to have some more liberal immigration rules.
Roger Whittle is with the Watertown Public Opinion. Dana Ferguson, Argus Leader Media. Thanks both of you for being here.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Lori.